Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Oh, it is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Interesting text on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. Direct the person with the call letter thing. Direct that to Tim Wenger. That's not in my pay grade. I'm sorry, but send it to Tim. T. Wenger. Oh, boy. I don't know his email. You'll find it. Just track him down. All right. Anyway, welcome. It is Bowerly on WBEN. So I just joined, actually,
the
Association of American Physicians and Surgeons as a patient member, which is interesting because I'm very impatient in real life. But the question about you've had the COVID, should you get the vaccine?
I have a 16-year-old.
The answer they're giving is no. Students and employees are increasingly becoming pressured to just get the shot. But since you choose to take these investigational products at your own risk, you might want to ask some questions. Tuesday, April 27th this year, on the Ingram Angle, Dr. Peter McCullough gave his viewpoint that COVID-19 recovered patients do not have significant risks of clinical reinfection. Dr. McCullough said natural immunity is far superior to that of the vaccine. There are already more than 7,000 breakthrough cases of COVID-19 in vaccinated persons, and very few have been reported and validated in someone who is naturally immune. People who have recovered from COVID, however, have a higher risk of side effects, including a 50% higher incidence of severe side effects requiring hospital care. That is, those of you who were infected and then got vaccinated. Thus, Dr. McCullough said he would not recommend administration of the COVID injections to these patients based on the risk to benefit ratio. Current experience shows no benefit, only risk. Is that me? Yeah, it's me reading it. The Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. They're the experts. We're talking with Dr. Amina Malonic. She's not a medical doctor. She's a PhD, and she has a very big brain on her shoulders. And, you know, Amina, we're talking about gullibility. And you know what I find interesting? I know quite a few people who've had COVID, and they've had COVID, and they've also gotten the shot. And nobody... none of those people has given me a satisfactory explanation of the following question. Since you already have natural immunity, why are you putting an experimental drug into your body? That seems to me to not make any sense. And usually what I get is shoulders shrugging and might as well. That's not a real good reason to me.
Well, that's just it. It's very confusing, or at least it's confusing to me when I talk to people like this. And I agree with you. I asked the same question, and the answer is never really clear. So the only thing I can think of is, well, two things. Either it's fear or it's collectivism, meaning the need to be part of the collective and the need to not feel isolated from this crisis. I actually feel similarly about people that are wearing masks in places that really don't have to wear masks, like alone in the car, which I will never, ever, ever understand. And actually people walking by themselves wearing masks. And And I'm trying to figure it out, right? I'm talking to myself. I'm going, wait a second. Don't worry, I'm not crazy. It's not like that. But I'm talking to myself, and I'm thinking, why in the world would you do that? And then it occurred to me, maybe because their lives are not really that meaningful. Their lives may not be actually filled with any kind of problems, any kind of struggles. And I think people like to feel like they are part of some sort of collective struggle, that we're all going through this. Do you notice any sarcasm in my voice? Nothing at all, right?
No, actually, no, because look, when I am driving and I see somebody alone in a car wearing a mask, my first inclination is, this person's an idiot. I want to get as far away from them as fast as possible. When I see a UB student or anybody really walking alone on a deserted street wearing a mask, I think to myself, there's an asshole. That's what I say.
Well, that's just it, isn't it? I don't think that this is even understood. And I'm wondering whether it's just this, like, a heuristic, you know, because if you are just doing what everybody else is doing, you're going with the crowd, wouldn't that make you, I guess, less intelligent? Wouldn't you want to say, wait a second, why is this happening at this point? Why do we have to do this? And I have really tried to do that through my writing, and I have tried to, and certainly when we're having conversations on your show, is just to kind of see if people can wake up and say, wait a second, you know, what is the reason for doing all of this?
And don't ask me I just made up a word. Don't read anything into it. It's just a bunch of nonsense sounds. It is 5:14 at News Radio 930 WBEN. Amina, Miss Big Brain, would you like to take some phone calls from people who are your fans?
Oh, absolutely.
And maybe some who aren't.
Sure.
All right.
I have a great, great sense of self-confidence. It's okay.
Oh, Amina. All right. Amina Milonik is with us. She writes for the Epic Times. She's got tons of pieces published all over the internet. I think I've got COVID of the brain. All over the internet. And maybe she's got some stuff. Maybe she's got some graffiti on an intersection somewhere. I don't know. Lopinick box. Anyway, sorry, that's old Buffalo graffiti, Amina. I'll explain it to you sometime. It popped up in 3 different locations. To this day, nobody knows who did it or what it was supposed to mean. Lopinick box. Don't ask. I have no idea. It is 5:15. Caller number 1, Rich on a cell phone. You are on with Amina Milonik, PhD. Hello.
Hey, good to be here. Alina, great points that you made. I think that one of the biggest problems is that we have so much fear being used, whether it be this immediate one, fanned by propaganda, which then brings about the comfort of the collectivism. There's always somebody with an answer and always someone that's going to tell you what's going to be good when they're pushing the peddling the fear, like global warming. You know, that's been a long-term fear propaganda approach. But especially when you look at the ignorance that is coupled with it, I mean, I'm not a doctor, but I can read just like everybody else. And one of the most succinct things about a vaccine is that it stimulates the same response in your body as if you got sick, only you don't get sick. And that's an entire group, Kelly, who called in, the UB student. She doesn't need a vaccine.
Well, I'm just going to interrupt you. Some of us are hypersensitive to vaccines. I do get sick from vaccines, but I don't get sick with what I'm being vaccinated against. For example, without going into it all over again, the shingles vaccine knocked me on my ass for 4 days. Like, I had a well over a 105 temperature. The thermometer was beeping at me, and I knew I was in trouble. I thought I had coronavirus, but it was just the shingles. And the second Moderna shot made me feel like crap, yeah, and swelled my feet up to elephantine proportions.
That's not good. That's not good at all.
But I didn't get COVID. I mean, I want to make that clear. And I would do it all over again because my circumstances are such that emergency use authorization made sense. Emergency use authorization, there is no COVID emergency for kids and college students.
I totally agree. And there isn't one for someone who's already had the coronavirus, too, regardless of group that you're from.
That is the finding of the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. Who am I to argue?
Amen. We can't. Yet people are. Isn't it something? Isn't it something?
And well, you know, here, and Rich, this great point. Are you through?
I am.
Okay, great call. You know, Amina, the battle of the experts. I just want to take you back to a bit of American history. You may or may not be familiar with it, but President Reagan, John Hinckley tried to kill President Reagan early in Reagan's presidency. And the big issue at trial was he criminally responsible for his actions? Some psychiatrist came in, testified 100% he was criminally responsible. Other psychiatrists, equally qualified, said no, he was too mentally ill to be responsible. In the end, the insanity defense in the 1% of the time it actually worked for John Hinckley, and he was sent to a mental ward and not a prison. The point being, equally qualified people using the same data coming to different conclusions. And people like you and I, who don't have expertise in immunology or virology, whom are we to believe?
Well, that's just it, and I certainly don't claim that. You know, my profession, if you will, you know, is that of a writer, an intellectual. So, you know, I'm dealing with ideas that are larger in a sense that are dealing with the culture. But the two points. One of the points was what the last caller here just said, which is comfort of collectivism. And I like the fact that he said the word comfort. And I think that some people do feel a sense of womb-like protectionism when somebody else tells them what to do. So that's kind of the first point. And second point of what you're talking about experts is I go back to, again, Orson Welles, actually, which is interesting that we're all tying it somehow together.
Independently.
Yes, just like The Rug in The Big Lebowski. But anyway...
the dude abides.
In any case, the experts, really, what Orson Welles did in the movie F for Fake, which he made in 1975, is he put to test experts in art, and it turned out that they didn't know what they were talking about. So that's a different kind of expertise. But the point here is that whom do you trust? That's really the issue here. And who can call themselves an expert?
Bingo. Amina Malonic, Ph.D., is with us. She writes for the Epoch Times, as well as numerous conservative websites all over the Internet. Pasquale, I need you. All right. Just waiting for Pasquale to get back so we can take care of some business. Okay. Yeah, the Orson Welles thing. We were talking about that a little bit earlier, and let's get back to the calls on WBEN. Here's Megan, Megan in Akron. You're on WBEN with Amina Malonic.
Hi guys.
Thanks. Hi, go right ahead, please.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call, Tom. I just wanted to let you and the listeners know that these college-age kids that are facing having to get this vaccine for admittance, they can file a religious exemption. The law that passed back in 2019, taking that away, only applied to school-aged children. So those 18 and over are still entitled to a religious exemption.
Well, that's going to be one of the questions I'll have for our next guest, who is going to be Corey Hogan from Hogan Willig.
Perfect.
Probably a better idea to bring that up with him. I will write that down, and thank you very much for the call.
Absolutely. Thanks, Tom.
Let us move on to Fred in Lancaster, next up with Amina Malonic. Hello, Fred.
Yeah, Tom, I'm a big fan of the Epoch Times or Epoch Times. American people are very gullible. We went to the first Gulf War over weapons of mass destruction. The second one we went because Afghanistan was involved in 9/11. So we'll pretty much swallow anything as a group. And this isn't anything different. We flattened the curve. Why are we still wearing masks?
Well, and Fred, I think more to the point, I would argue, we flattened the curve, and over the weekend, Dr. Fauci keeps moving the goalposts. He actually said, maybe by next Mother's Day, things will be back to normal. I don't know what planet he's living on, because things were totally normal, or as normal as they can be, at the Bowerly House on Mother's Day this year.
Well, it's up to us as Americans to, at a certain point, civil disobedience and resistance. Unfortunately, I watched a video of a guy who didn't wear a mask in a Costco, and he was getting removed from the Costco, and a bunch of other people were cheering and happy that he was getting removed.
Yeah, and if these people had been vaccinated, there's no logical reason for such jubilation over that because he doesn't represent a threat to them. All right, Fred, thank you very much for the call. You know, I love the words you use, this collectivization of thought that we are seeing and this willingness to give up the basic idea of not being able to walk somewhere without a mask and having people cheer when somebody who is non-compliant is thrown out, even though they may very well be vaccinated themselves. It's insane.
It makes no sense. It does not make any sense to me. And I guess the issue here is that why isn't it not making sense for others as well? That's the thing. Because this is not a question of some sort of intellectual disagreement. You know, let's say we're talking about conservatism and liberalism. This is a question of common sense and not common sense, I guess. And that's the problem that I'm seeing. But the only thing I can think of is that some people really, really need that needs that sort of protection in their minds, that is, you know. And again, not a psychological evaluation here. I'm merely saying that there must be something spiritually devoid in their lives in order to feel this kind of fear, because a lot of it, in my opinion, has to do with the lack of faith as well. Not everything in life works out, and you know, it's a tough life, of course, but at the same time, to live with an idea that there are no risks at all in life, then to me is akin to not live at all.
Amen. Amen. Amina, I honestly don't know where the time goes. Next time you're on, I have no idea when that will be or about which subjects we will speak, but thank you very much for your time. Always a pleasure.
Always, always a pleasure, Tom. Always.
All right, you're gonna go get dinner ready. What are you cooking tonight?
Shrimp.
Oh, nice. All right. Well, enjoy the shrimp on the Barbie. Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Dr. Amina Melonic, M-E-L-O-N-I-C. She writes for the Epoch Times. She's got pieces everywhere, and she's got more common sense and life experience in her body than most of us will ever know in our entire lifetimes. And she's young, too. I mean, she's not. I mean, she is. All right, it's Bauerle on News Radio 930 WBEN. Welcome to the show. You know, we've had a lot of legal aspects being brought up on the program regarding COVID, regarding vaccination mandates, et cetera, et cetera. And who better to answer legal questions than one of Buffalo's finest attorneys and most discerning judges of fine young legal talent? We're joined right now by Corey Hogan of Hogan Willig. And full disclosure, my daughter is an attorney there. And by the end of this interview, she will be a full partner. Corey, thanks a lot for being with us. I appreciate your time as always.
Tom, I had to get your daughter's permission to appear, and she gave it to me, so I'm happy to be here.
I'm happy that she was in a benevolent mood today. She usually is. A girl who likes cabochons can't be all bad. Now, Corey, first things first, can a government mandate a vaccine which is an experimental vaccine, because under the Nuremberg medical protocols, coercion may not be used to get people to take an experimental drug?
Yeah, you're right. At this point, it's only been authorized for emergency use authorization, and then the Secretary of Health and Human Services approved it. So at this point, it's my understanding, my belief, that the government cannot mandate this emergency use vaccine and require that anybody be vaccinated with the COVID-19 as it currently stands. Now, of course, Pfizer has made an application to get the appropriate FDA approval, and once that occurs, then it's a different story.
Now, I understand that you are obviously you are an attorney, but hear me out in this, if you would, please. The vaccine right now and as it was released to the public, was done so as emergency use authorization. And logically, where was the emergency? It was in the frail elderly, particularly in nursing homes, but also people like me with, you know, with a lot of stuff going on health-wise. So can you explain to me as an attorney where the COVID emergency, if that is even a legal term, exists with college students or 12 to 15-year-olds?
Yeah. I don't think at the present time they can mandate that college students or 12 to 15-year-old minors or whatever, they can't mandate that any of these people get vaccinated. It's still voluntary.
Now, what is this? We're talking with attorney Corey Hogan from Hogan Willig. And if you've got a legal question about all of the things that we've been talking about over the past couple of days, you're not going to find a finer attorney. We've got a lot of great attorneys who come on the program, but our telephone number on WBEN for your legal questions regarding these proposed mandates and all of the ancillary issues around them, 803-0930, that is 803-0930, star 930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Now, here's something else, and again, I don't know if this is quite a legal question, but I'll try it anyway. Governor Cuomo wants the FDA to give full approval for safe and effective to this vaccine well before the two-year period that the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons says will be required to establish it as safe and effective. So, legally speaking, do you have any idea how the FDA can possibly call something safe and effective far below the threshold of time it would ordinarily take?
Yeah, no, I don't know that legally. That'll be one of the arguments, presumably, if they try to approve it in some shorthanded method. But I think what they're going to argue, at least what I've been told now, is that because it's been used in hundreds of millions of people, that they now have a much larger pool than they typically would have, so that they can argue that a shorter time period is appropriate, and maybe a year will work given the number of people that have been basically acting as guinea pigs. So,
to which the counter argument would be, no matter how many people, you can't advance time. So you can't forecast a year into the future, much less 5 years into the future, what the possible side effects might be.
True enough, and that'll be the argument that may be used to argue against the FDA approval if, in fact, they give it. I know that Cuomo said he thought they would have it before school starts next September. I don't know if that's true, but it is true that if, without that official FDA approval on a non-emergency use basis, that there's no way that they can mandate the COVID-19 vaccine for anybody.
Had a call earlier from a woman whose child has been accepted to a state school. She has signed the papers, the deposit has been given, and she regards any mandate that the child now has to receive a COVID-19 vaccine as basically a breach of contract and an additional contractual term added on to what was an agreement to attend the school. Is there any validity to that?
You could certainly make that argument, but in New York State, there has been in the public health law for a long time a requirement that certain vaccinations be mandated for everybody up through high school, and there also is my understanding that as far as colleges, you're also dealing with measles, mumps, and rubella vaccination that's required. The ones for high school are like diphtheria and tetanus, pertussis, polio, and chickenpox. There's like six of them that are mandated. And back in June of 19, the religious exemption that existed was repealed by the New York State Legislature. That's been challenged in a number of courts, and the courts have consistently, New York at this point, has said that they had the power to remove that religious exemption. What's ultimately going to happen on this vaccine, this COVID-19 vaccine, I think there's going to be two pieces to it, Tom. One is going to be, is there a danger associated with this vaccine that the government is not recognizing? when it attempts to exercise its police power and mandate its use? And two, is the COVID-19 virus that serious of a sickness, disease, whatever it's referred to as, that the government has the authority to mandate its use? This goes back to, I don't want to make it too complicated or boring for your listeners, but this goes back to the Supreme Court's decision in 1905 that's still around. Here we are, you know, what, 120?
Jacobson?
Yeah, where they basically, in the state of Massachusetts, they mandated the compulsory vaccination for smallpox. And it was at that point in time, it was a criminal charge, but it was a $5 fine in 1905. And then the Supreme Court said that it is within the power of the state to enact this type of a compulsory vaccination. And it's generally up to the legislature to make the decision as to whether it's appropriate or not. But at some point, it does come down to what we've been arguing in the court cases all along right now, is when the government attempts to use its police power, there has to be a relationship between the harm they're trying to prevent or the good they're trying to encourage and what they're asking people to do. I don't want to take you off subject, but I don't know if you've been made aware of the so-called New York Hero Act. This is a disaster, in my opinion.
Do tell.
May 5th by Cuomo. That's going to require any employer with 10 employees or more to set up a system within your office to prevent the transmission of airborne infectious disease, starting with COVID-19, but any of them. And it's convenient that the exceptions to that are all governmental entities. So every private employer, you're going to have representatives of the union, if you have a union, representatives of your employees, if you don't have a union, and then you have to go through a laundry list of things, including, you know, health screenings for your employees, face covering possibilities, other PPE equipment, hand washing stations, cleaning and disinfecting of common areas. It's a disaster, in my opinion.
This is insane.
Yeah.
Okay. This is insane. Why are people getting vaccinated then? If the whole point, again, if the whole point of vaccination is to protect ourselves against serious COVID infection, this New York Heroes Act seems to me to be maybe, a year late and a dollar short.
Well, but it's going to go on forever. And that was what our concern was all along here, is that, you know, it's one thing to focus on the COVID-19 vaccine. It's another thing, and the so-called restrictions on liberty and everything like that they were doing, and no one can deny that that didn't occur. The issue is, okay, we've got this so-called pandemic, and it is, as you mentioned, depending upon your age and your comorbidities, it can be something that can kill you. For most people, it isn't. 92% of the people that die are over 55, and they have at least 3.8 comorbidities. So it's really focused on those people, and they're the ones that should have been protected. So that's been going on, and now we're at a point now where in Erie County, over half the population has been double-shotted, so we probably are really close to herd immunity. The numbers are really plummeting right now. This thing, this HEROES Act, is going to go on forever, unless it's ruled unconstitutional. This is something that every private employer, has to put in place. This is called bureaucracy at its utmost, where now the government is going into every place where people work and requiring all kinds of requirements to so-called prevent this infectious disease. And if you have, let's say, 100 employees and you have two people that are mad about it, they can go ahead and basically call you in, you know, call the government on the hotline, and there's a retaliation provision in there that the employer cannot retaliate against any employee that does those kind of things. And an employee can also refuse to report to work if they feel that their health is in jeopardy. So this is really a weird thing that got kind of, in me, you know, shoveled under the rug. I don't even know if most people know about it. It's not a good thing.
This is the Sovietization of America, and you said it went into effect on May 5th?
Well, it's going to be, there's two effective dates. It was signed by Cuomo on May 5th, so the legislature passed it, our legislature that was supposed to rein the governor in. And part of it goes into effect on June 4th. So that's when all the employers have to adopt standards. And then you're required to, with what they call the definition, is a joint labor management workplace safety committee. So it does sound a little like this, the communist type of
wow.
these
But just remember, Corey, a few years ago, New York is open for business. You know, we spent a lot of money on ads in Texas and elsewhere trying to induce companies to come to New York because New York was so business-friendly. Prime example here of New York being business-friendly. Let's go to Tricia in Clarence with attorney Corey Hogan. Hogan Willig, welcome, Tricia.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity to ask a question here. So I'm wondering about Jacobson. My understanding of it, that it passed because it was an emergency situation with widespread illness. So I'm wondering, does that relate here? Like, what constitutes an emergency?
And what represents a widespread threat to public health when it is a certain segment of the population that is affected and that presumably has already been vaccinated?
Right. From what I understand, the CDC calls an epidemic an illness where there's a 7.7% case death rate, which we're not even close to that in New York State. So as far as I'm concerned, it's like the emperor has no clothes. We're not really in an emergency situation here.
All right. The question is, and that's a great question, Tricia. Thank you. How is Jacobson still valid in 2021?
Well, it's valid, as we mentioned before. It's all tied into the police power that belongs to the government. And at some point, if there's going to be a war, presumably the government can go ahead and draft people to fight in the war. So now we're dealing with the police power having to do with a disease. Most people would agree, I think, that if you had a disease that was killing one out of two people, that something should be done so that half the population doesn't disappear. What happened here with COVID-19 is that this was particularly deadly with a certain smaller segment of our population. And I don't think it was widely understood, but the police power that the courts have been upholding for the most part was used, and it's been used where they're saying that given the method of which this particular virus spreads, and arguably given the seriousness of it, that the government has the right to come in and interfere with your personal liberties. It has the right to basically shut down businesses, shut down schools. It can't require a vaccination right now, but it could if you get to a point where you're dealing with something like smallpox, which was what Jacobson was about. I think that to require that now is what's going to be a very dicey issue. In other words, can they require a vaccine to deal with this the COVID-19? When you're dealing with kids, it is so minimal in terms of the manner in which the disease affects people. It's not like there aren't some kids that don't get it seriously. It's not like there aren't some kids that don't die. But as far as I know, in Erie County, there has not been one child under the age of 18 that has died.
No, I've covered more stories of children dying of flu over the years, Corey, than of COVID. Corey Hogan is with us. I could literally talk all day with you about this stuff. I think that New York Heroes Act, we need a solid hour out of you at your earliest convenience.
I'm happy to do it because it's kind of scary to me in terms of the way that this is put into place. I mean, they're dealing with it, social distancing, mandatory or precautionary orders of isolation or quarantine. I mean, it's nutty in my mind in terms of the bureaucracy that this would create in every place of employment other than the government. The government has the nerve to pass something like this and then say it doesn't apply to any governmental agency.
This is surreal. Let's all get vaccinated so life can get back to normal. Oh, I'm sorry. Life is not going to get back to normal. Let's continue the fear narrative as long as possible. Corey Hogan, I can't wait. I'll be in touch with I'll have your people call my people, and we'll do a show on the New York Heroes Act.
Looking forward to it, Tab.
All right, thank you. Corey Hogan with Hogan Willig. And yes, full disclosure, my daughter is an attorney there, and she ought to be a full partner by now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
For a
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.